So for the last couple of Sundays, we have been looking at God's Word. We saw that God's Word is inspired, or that it is God-breathed, and because it comes from God, it bears God's authority, and that God's Word has absolute authority over our lives. Amen? Last Sunday night, or last Sunday morning, we saw that God's Word is inerrant, meaning that it is truth, and that it does not deviate from truth. And because it bears God's authority, and because it is God's truth, that you and I are accountable to it. It is not only our authority, we are accountable to the Word of God. And those are some very foundational, very fundamental truths of Christianity. Now, obviously, our theme this year being Rooted to Rise, we are trying to dig deep so that God can grow us up. We're trying to dig deep to where the nourishment is so that God can produce fruit. And really, we are starting with God's Word on purpose. Because if you're confused about this, chances are you're not going to get much else right either. And I'm going to tell you, that's why, one of the reasons why, in 2 weeks, we are going to have a couple of joint Sunday school classes about why we use the King James. We don't do it because we've always done it. We don't do it because I like the these and thous and the ye's and your. We do it for a specific reason, and we are going to take a look at the Word of God. We are going to take a look at the history of God's Word in the English language, and we are going to show why God has led we as a church to use the King James. And I encourage you, it's 2 weeks that you be a part of that, and I think God will really bless you for it. But we have got to get this right. If we can get this right, where this has the authority in our lives, if we can get this right, where we are accountable to this, everything else in our lives will begin to fall into place. But many Christians are not completely confident, comfortable with, or consistent in how they handle the Word of God. Now I'm going to ask for a little bit of honesty tonight, okay? How many of you would be honest enough to say in your Christian life, as far as how you personally study and seek and apply God's Word, your personal walk with God, how many would be honest enough to say at some point in my Christian life, I have not been completely confident in how to study God's Word? I have not been completely comfortable. I have not been completely consistent in God's Word personally. How many would say at some point in my Christian life that was me? Let me see some honesty tonight. Keep them up, and I want us to look around. Because sometimes the devil makes us think like we're the only one and there's something wrong with us. And I'm looking, by the way, I'm looking for somebody whose hand is not up so I can walk down and give you this microphone. Okay, if you've never had any trouble, you need to be up here and not me, because my hand is up like the rest of you. And apparently the microphone doesn't want to go back on, so there we go. But you know, that's a problem, isn't it? If the Word of God is our authority and the Word of God is what we're accountable to, if we're not comfortable, if we're not confident, if we're not consistent in how we handle it, boy, that could lead to some real uncertain Christian living, couldn't it? I think one of the reasons that we struggle so much as believers is because we lack that confidence in how we ought to study to rightly divide God's Word. And so tonight I have a simple goal. I'm not going to preach at you so much as I'm going to teach to you. And my goal is to equip us to handle the obstacles that we face when we handle God's Word. Because if we are going to be people who are rooted, if we are going to be people that God can raise up, we must be people who can rightly divide the Word of truth. So let's read the verse one more time and we'll jump right in. The Bible says this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Roman numeral 1, how is it that we can rightly divide the word of truth? We must know the simple interpretation. We must understand the simple interpretation of Scripture. That word interpretation simply has the idea of the meaning of the text. Now, this is where we have to start. And unfortunately, this is where so many in our day go wrong. Because when we talk about interpretation of the Bible, when I talk about any passage of the Bible, understand this, that there is objective truth to what any verse, any passage, any book teaches. And when we come to Scripture, first and foremost, there is a specific and singular meaning to any passage of Scripture. There is a specific and singular meaning to any passage of Scripture. You know, so often we come to the Bible and we want something new. We want something different. We want to have some sort of spiritual encounter that nobody else has had before. Some secret, special knowledge. But that is not why we come to the Scripture. Or let me phrase it this way. You don't go to Scripture to see what Scripture means to you. That's a phrase that's used a lot in our day today. Well, this means to me. Can I tell you, when we come to Scripture, we don't start with what it means to me. We start with what God meant when He said it. We have to start with what did God mean, not what did I mean, not what to your, but what did God mean when He said it? Because when God said it, there was a singular and specific reason for which He said it. The Bible said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so it's not up to me to determine what Scripture means. It's not up to you. God knew what He meant when He said it. God knew what He meant when He had the Holy Spirit move the men to record the words that He had spoken. And this is where we must start, because this is where the cults go astray. You know, in every cult, you know what you can find? You can find some element of scriptural truth. But you know what they do with it? They take it and they twist it. They take it and they mangle it. They take it and they say, this means something that God has revealed, that this means something to me that nobody else has ever known or seen or heard before. I alone have access to this special truth. That's how the cults start. And I want you to notice what Peter wrote about them in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 16. He wrote this, that also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Here he's talking about Paul and the things that Paul wrote, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That word rest has the idea of to wrestle or to twist or to bend, to mangle. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own, what's that next word? Destruction. So as we come to the Word of God, as we learn to rightly divide the Word of truth, the first thing that we ought to ask is, what did God mean when He said this? There is objective truth in every verse, in every chapter, in every book of Scripture. And do you know what it takes to find objective truth? Persistent study. You know, this is why Paul admonished Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God. How many of us are glad to not be in school anymore? Amen, glory, hallelujah. You know, we get through school, and oh, we hate to study, and we just can't wait to get out of school so that we don't have to study anymore. Can I tell you, if you're a believer, if you want to be a workman that's approved unto God, who can rightly divide the word of truth, you know what you have to never stop doing? Studying. And you know the thing about studying is it always has, and it always will be, for the vast majority of us, hard work. For that, there's a couple nerds in every room, I get it. And the laughers may be them, okay? Mark them, okay? Mark them. Somebody get their names and we'll confront them afterwards. But studying has always been and will always be hard work. But the reality is the Bible is simple enough for every Christian to understand it. The Bible is simple enough for every Christian to understand it. You know, one of William Tyndale's primary reasons for wanting the Scripture to be in English, to be in the native tongue of the people, is so that even the plowboys on their breaks could find some spot of shade and read into God's holy word. You know, if William Tyndale had the confidence that a farmhand back in 16th century England would have enough sense to be able to read and understand God's word, can I tell you, we are far more educated. We have far more resources than they did back in that day. Every believer has the capacity to understand God's word. But this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we are commanded to study. It takes some real tenacity. And it takes the right tools to rightly divide the word of truth. Some of us study the word of God like an eighth grader studies for a history test. You know, they wait, they wait, they wait, they wait, and at the last minute they want to cram everything and wonder why they just don't get it. You know what we tell kids, what I have told students in every class I have ever taught, is if you study a little bit tonight, and you study a little bit tomorrow, and you study a little bit the next day, and you study a little bit the next day, and you study, guess what? The day before the test is going to come, and guess what? You're going to have basically all of it down already. You're not going to need to push. Can I tell you the key to understanding, to being able to interpret God's word, is you just got to study. Get in it today. Get in it tomorrow. Get in it the next day. Get in it the next day. You don't have to read the whole Bible in a year. You don't have to read five chapters a day. You don't even have to read one chapter. But study the Word of God every day. And you do it with some real consistency. You have some real tenacity. You know what? You're not going to understand everything you read. There's some stuff that I read, especially in the Old Testament, and I scratch my head and I go, huh? Huh? But you know, the devil wants to get you all hung up on what you may not understand, because there's a whole lot in here that you do understand, that if you get busy about what you do understand, you'll be amazed at how God will use you to change your world. It takes some real tenacity. And it takes the right tools. I can remember in high school trying to understand dumb English poetry. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. And I can remember, and I'm like, why didn't they just say what they wanted to say? But you know, I had a great teacher who not only stuck with it, I mean, we spent so much time in class, but she gave us tools. When you see this wording, or you see this image, or you see this author do this, and you know what? After a while, guess what began to happen? It began to click. It takes tenacity, and it takes the right tools. You know, when we come to God's Word, we need to come to it literally. We need to come to it literally. You know, when plain sense makes common sense, we don't need to seek any other sense. We need to come at it literally. We need to remember that the Bible and the accounts in Scripture were real events. They're not fables to be spiritualized. It's not David killed the mythical giant Goliath, and so just like David slew his giant, we too can lose 10 pounds if we really try hard and believe. Can I tell you, that's not what that story is about. It's about a real boy named David who killed a real monster called Goliath. They're not fables. They are actually accounts. Read it literally. Study historically. Ask yourself questions. Like those investigative questions. Who is this being spoken to? Who's being talked about? Where are they? When is it? Why is it? You know what you'll find? You'll find that when you do that, some things begin to open up and make sense. Study contextually. Meaning, read the rest of the passage. Sometimes even read the rest of the verse. Read the rest of the verse. You know, there's one verse that I point out when we talk about reading the context, and this is a small snippet. You go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and you read the first line, chapter 3 and verse 21, David, if you would. You read the first line of that, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Stop right there, and you'll go, oh, what? Baptism saves us? By the way, this is the verse that's often quoted by the denominations that believe baptism imparts saving grace. And they stop right there. Preacher, what do we do with the verse that says, even doth now all baptism doth now also? What do we do? You read the rest of the verse. And notice what the rest of the verse says. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In other words, you know what baptism can't do? It cannot save you from the filth of your flesh. It cannot make you born again. It cannot regenerate you. It cannot impart saving grace. But what is it? It is the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is that identification with and that answer of a good conscience that I am in Christ. So what do we do with that verse? We read the rest of it. You know, sometimes we'll hit a verse. There's some in Galatians, there's some in Hebrews, there's some in the Gospels. And we'll go, what do we do? Back up and read the chapter. What's the context? Who, where, when, why? You study, you dig in. Study, study, study. Not only do we study literally and historically and contextually, we study completely. In other words, the whole Bible. The Bible, you will find, is the best commentary on the Bible. And sometimes you have questions and you keep reading. And maybe a couple of verses later, maybe a chapter later, maybe a couple books later, maybe the next go around, you know what you find? That the Bible answers the question. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And so you study the whole Bible, study completely. But if we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, we have to start with the simple interpretation. That means every time I come to a passage, every time I come to a verse, every time I come to an account, I understand this, that there is a specific and singular meaning to this passage of Scripture. And I study it. And I study it. And I study it. And anybody can do this. Anybody can. You know, I would go so far as to say Roman numeral 1, the simple interpretation, even a lost person can do that. Even a lost person can study the Word of God. That's why you have all of these lost peoples being professors of religion at all of these, because even lost people can study the Word of God. But that's the start, ladies and gentlemen. That's the start. Number two, after we have the simple interpretation, do you know what we need? We need the Spirit's illumination. We need the Spirit's illumination. And this goes beyond the meaning. We have the meaning. We know what God has said. And now the Spirit begins to take what God has said and that truth that we have studied and that we have in our heads, and the Spirit begins to take it from our heads to our hearts. And we begin to see the enlightening truth of the Scripture. The interpretation is the objective truth. The illumination is an enlightening truth. And only believers, only Christians with the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them can know the Spirit's illumination. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14 says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And what this word illumination means is it is the spiritual enlightening of the believer as the Holy Spirit comes alongside of the believer and teaches him the truths of God. It takes the meaning in our head and it becomes a meditation in our heart. It takes the meaning in our head and it becomes an enlightened meditation in our heart. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 27, the Bible says this, "But the anointing," speaking here of the Spirit, "which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even if it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." In other words, the best teacher that you can have when it comes to the Word of God is not the preacher. It is the Spirit of God who lives within you. And you know, your spirit, His Spirit that lives in you, ought to bear witness with what comes from this pulpit, ought to bear witness with what you're taught in youth group or what you're taught in Sunday school class, ought to bear witness with whatever it is that you're reading or whoever it is you're listening to. But it is the Spirit of God that takes the truth of God and enlightens our eyes. David, I didn't give you this passage, but if you could pull it up. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse number 18. The Bible says this, David's prayer, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that ought to be our prayer every time we come to the Word of God. That it's not just the interpretation that we want. Yes, we want the meaning. And we need to start with the meaning. But to have the meaning, to have the interpretation without the illumination is to miss what God has for you personally. And I tell you, those of us in Christ, we've experienced this. How many times have you read a passage and it's almost like the spiritual light bulb goes off? I mean, one of the most vivid times for me, it was in Corinthians where it talked about, and such were some of you. He's got that laundry list of sins, and he looks at the Corinthians, this wicked bunch, and says, and such were some of you. And I can remember, and I've never been able to explain it to other people the way God explained it to me, but that light bulb went off, and I saw for the first time ever how in Christ everything had changed about my identity. And that I was not the same person. And I was a new creature. And I tell you what, that light bulb went off. And those of you in Christ who spent some time in the Word, you have, and you know, some of you are nodding with me, you have had that light bulb experience. And it is amazing when God butts into your Bible study. And I tell you, on a regular basis, we ought to pray Psalm 119:18 and invite Him to butt in as often as He wants. We start with an interpretation. And then we allow the Spirit to illuminate. And you know, the Holy Spirit of God, is directly involved in leading us into the truths of Scripture. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John 16 and verse number 13, He said this, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." It is the Spirit of God who will lead you into this truth. By the way, Christians, that's why it's so important that we be right with God. That we not grieve the Spirit. That we not quench the Spirit. Because if you ignore Him during the day, chances are you're not going to be able to hear Him when you're trying to read and study either. The Spirit of God. We see here the enlightening truth. Do you know how we reach this enlightenment? You know how we make ourselves available for the Spirit to illumine us? Faithful meditation. Faithful meditation. To get the interpretation, you need a persistent study. For the Spirit's illumination, you need faithful meditation. Because the illumination, like we said, occurs when Scripture moves from our heads to our hearts. And because meditation is the avenue that internalizes the truths of Scripture, the product of meditation in our lives is prosperity, blessing. You know, meditation, we need to understand, is not the clearing of the mind, like many in Eastern cultures think today, and has even crept over into our Western culture. It's not a clearing of the mind. Trust me, we need to hold on to what we got. Don't empty it. But meditation is the filling of our mind. You can say it this way, it's the saturation of our mind and heart with the Scripture. It's a consideration. You talk it over. You speak it to yourself. The Bible talks about uttering and muttering the Scripture. Meditation is that consideration of Scripture. It's a contemplation of Scripture. It's an imagination. It's a living it. It's a thinking it over in tangible, living, breathing terms and situations. And it's a captivation that we so allow the Word of God to saturate our hearts. You know, we can't spend all day in meditation. We can't spend all day thinking about the truth of the Word of God with the Word of God in front of us. We can't stay there all day, but if we meditate, we can take it with us all day. And we can take it with us anywhere we go. If we are going to be a people who rightly divide the Word of truth, it starts, number one, with knowing the simple interpretation. How many meanings are there to a passage of Scripture, church? How many meanings are there to a passage of Scripture, church? How many meanings? And whose meaning are we looking for? God's. God's. The simple interpretation. Secondly, we pray for what? The Spirit's illumination. And from there, number three, we end up with some very specific implications or applications, if you will. This is when what is in our head has been taken by the Holy Spirit to our hearts. And as we submit to His leading, it plays out through our hands. Some very specific applications. You know, Scripture is transformative. Amen. Scripture is transformative. Jesus prays, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may. And what is it that renews our mind? It is the word of God. But the order here is important, because only when we hold it in our head, when we know the meaning, can we hide it in our heart. With meditation. And only after we have hid it in our hearts can we correctly handle it with our hands and literally be metamorphosized, transformed by God's Word. In other words, here we go. Learn it. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Learn it. Love it. Live it. And I emphasize tonight this order because a lot of times we're like, live, 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 live. And what are we after? We're after the fruit. But if we're going to grow and we're going to sustain, it's not the fruit we watch. It's not the fruit we develop. It's the roots. Learn it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Love it. Meditate day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Live it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll tell you, life is not burdensome when you live what you love. I'll tell you, life is not complicated when your conduct flows from your conviction. It's not difficult when the Bible within you produces the behavior that comes from you. And these transforming truths ought to produce in our lives living applications. The Bible should challenge us. It should challenge our thoughts and our desires and our emotions, our expectations, our reasons, our rationale and reactions. Oh, that we come to the Bible as David did in Psalm 139. And say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. You know how we allow God and the Spirit of God a real way into our hearts and lives? The Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of man. You know, this Bible and the Spirit of God, as He takes God's truth and delves into you, can separate things that you didn't know were separatable. Can get to the bottom of things that you didn't think there was a bottom to. and can challenge you in areas that you never knew needed to be challenged. Anybody who comes to this book submissively and in the Spirit will always walk away challenged. Will always walk away convicted. It should challenge and convict us. It should change us. Mold us to the image of Christ. Conviction without change, challenge without change is worthless. I tell you, it's worse than worthless. Because what it will do is it will harden and callous your heart. I wasn't even planning on using this, but put up Proverbs 29 and verse 1 for me. That's from memory, so we'll see if I'm right. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. This is what happens with conviction without change, with callous without change. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck and suddenly shall be destroyed. And that without remedy. Can I tell you, to be challenged and to refuse to change, to be convicted and to be refused to change, is worse than worthless, because it sets you up for destruction. And that's a dangerous place to be. But these transforming truths should produce living application in our lives. You know, the Word of God will ground you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 47, beginning verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them," Jesus said, "I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." The Word of God will ground you, Christian. The Word of God will grow you, Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, we preached on it Sunday morning. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." The Word of God will guide you. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It will guard you. Ephesians 6 and verse number 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Psalm 119 verse 9, the Bible says, "And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." This book, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But that does not come unless we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we rightfully divide, church? Number one, we find what? The simple interpretation. One meaning, God's meaning. Number two, we find the Spirit's illumination. When the Holy Spirit of God moves in and enlightens our eyes, He moves that truth from the meaning in our head to a meditation in our heart. And finally, it manifests itself in specific implications or applications, if you would. And so that which was in our head finds a home in our heart and naturally works itself out in our hands. You will not understand every word you read every time that you read it. But if you study, you study in the Spirit, and you do so with a spirit of submissiveness, I tell you, God will make you a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And you will be able to hold this book that bears God's authority. And you will be able to live this book to which we are accountable. And you would be able to do it in consistent confidence for your good.
and for God's glory.
Let's stand together. Father, we love you.